finally got a real ticket, thanks to my hero. And our next talk is about cases just like this. You bought something off the internet and you notice, huh, the money's gone. Money's gone, but you can, of course, something, you can do something against it. There's prevention. You could coach your parents, so nobody needs to come home and repair the family PC. You can create backups, so you don't need to come crawling to management. Or you look at talks, just like Hacking Brains, which was 36C3, who saw that? Oh yeah, that's quite a number of people. Hacking Brains Hackback Edition, who saw that? Yeah, still quite a lot of people. Disclosure, Hack and Back at Camp 23, who saw that? Not that many campers here. It doesn't matter though. Kai and Matthias are going to tell you something about fake shops off the rack and the crime behind this. Please give them a round of applause. Welcome them to Congress. Yeah, hi. I'm Matthias. I work for Asselabs. Kai Biermann. I'm an investigative journalist for The Zeit. We looked at fake shops. That was a longer bit of research. The first case happened and was published about half a year ago. We're going to take a closer look and we're going to talk about the state of things today. So this is what it started. Just your average web shop somewhere on the internet. You can buy clothes. The site is in Dutch, I think. And this shop has a problem. On the web server, there's a .git folder, which is public. There's a config file. I've been looking at data leaks on the internet forever. It's quite boring, technically, because there's open doors everywhere. You just need to walk through those doors in time, or other people have done this before you. And yeah, here we have a couple things. We have access data to an account, and there's a Git repository behind it. How does this work?
So the structure of a Git repository is it's very easy to predict. If we have a find the config file and the index file, then we can see the file names. If the file names don't end in .php, then I can just download those files. Now here we have a PHP file that the web server would interpret, so I can't directly download it, but I still have the hash sum, which points to an object in the .git folder, and there I can then also download the files and reconstruct those files. If you find one of these Git repos in the internet, then most of the time you can't reconstruct everything. In this case, we could actually reconstruct everything. That means we actually did that. So we see, oh, this is a WordPress. And this is, looks like a normal WordPress, but there are some files that are typically not there in a WordPress if you just from scratch install this. If there's typically not in the Git, you have the WordPress config file, which contains some credentials. And we also have CardPay and RPC server, which also doesn't belong to WordPress, and we have a backup of the database. Looking at the database backup, it's pretty empty. We see an admin account and no further users, and we directly see an email address, xmservice99@outlook.com, and we didn't find any orders in this WordPress, but we found another email account, ranshuservice@zzimail.com. This email account didn't work anymore. Boring. Next, looking at the next leak, maybe we look at the other files. So this one looked slightly weird. There's Chinese characters here, which I can't really understand. But this code seemed to not be used. There's no reference to this code. I don't think it's being used anymore. Yeah, so I looked at what it does. So it's a payment gateway address and like some payment URL, and something is being encrypted. And if I need a code, then I can contact Dingfu Technology. So I just accepted that and looked at the next folder. It's an RPC class in PHP. It's a remote procedure class. So you can remotely change things on the server. For example, generate an order, whatever that is for. I can get the customers, also not very clear. In the backup that we saw, there wasn't any real data. So we just accepted that as well. And then it got really weird. We saw the .git/config file where there were user accounts for Bitbucket. If we look at the leak.ix for this username, which is a leak search engine, which searches the entire internet for these .git files, then we find over 10,000 domains. It's not the same data source, but it's always the same one in the sense that it's not the same domain. But for everyone, we have different. We have the same Git repository with the same garbage, with WordPress and an empty backup and the RPC server class, but different credentials. And this is what these web shops look like. They're designed with a lot of work. And the logo works with the domain name. The IP address is hidden behind Cloudflare. It's still really weird. So we just ordered something and looked at what happened to better understand what's actually happening. So we just picked one at random and looked, okay, what do they have? We saw they had some tops that were like 50% on sale, so we thought that would be good and selected that, put that in the cart, added our address, and have a choice between credit card or credit card, PayPal for payment. With the credit card, enter our credit card. And the next weird thing is that this payment data is not sent to the web shop and also not one of the typical payment providers, but to a random domain where somebody hit his head on the keyboard. Really weird.
Then
we tried that with more different web shops. And there we could pay with PayPal or to give a donation. And 3% of the order will then go to children in need. We really didn't get our proper credit card. There is something called a canary credit card, where you can't get money off it, but we get a notification if this credit card is being used. We didn't get a notification, but found this huge number of over 10,000 web shops very interesting, but looked at more prevalent data leaks.
Da komme ich denn.
So this is where I come in.
Matthias zeigte mir den Kram
Matthias
irgendwann.
Showed this to me at some point. And he asked, is this of interest to you?
Auch ich hätte vorhin den
and I should have raised my hand earlier, because my daughters had just tried to order cheap Doc Martens off the internet. They were half off, but they never arrived. And I was a bit aware, and I had prior warning, and I was interested in web shops that don't deliver what they promise. And so I did some research and heard ever more of these stories, and I thought, okay, maybe this is a bigger problem, actually. And that's precisely the reason why we're here today, because it's a bit smaller topic for this community, I'd say. Because, well, online scamming happens on a daily basis for everybody of us. We're talking about this, though, because we believe that for the first time we've understand the extent of the problem, and because we believe we can show for the first time that organized crime is actually behind this. And I'd like, once again, have a show of hands, like the angel did before, because I want to show something to all y'all and to myself. Who's been scammed on the internet? Yep,
happened to me, please keep your hands up. And who went to the police with this? And yeah, I was afraid of that and expected that. Very good. We'll get back to this. Unfortunately, I have to say. Spoiler alert. So, scam is a gigantic problem. It affects all of us because it's become a daily thing, and still, nobody cares, nobody does anything. Part of the problem is that the amounts in questions are so little. Like in these clothing stores, 50 euros, 70 euros. Yeah, it's a bit painful. I'd miss them. I do miss them. But it's an amount where people say, oh, God, whatever. I don't want to go running to the police. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't care. This I don't care leads to nobody really taking care of the problem. And you see this. This is a cybersecurity monitor from the German security authority. How do you protect yourself on the internet? And a suggested measure is don't shop online. It's suggested as a prevention measure. But that can't be, right? So, let's put this to the real world. Yeah, I know, it's not a perfect comparison, but we're being cheated when we go to the supermarket every time. And an authority suggests, well, don't go to the supermarket. It's part of the problem, really, and the reason why we wanted to talk about this today. It's an accepted risk of life, yet it happens to us all the time, or at least way too often. And psychology has a concept for this. It's called learned helplessness. We've learned due to negative experience. We can't change this ourselves, so we accept it. And we believe eventually it's been our own fault. No, we want to show this, and we want to underline this, it's not your fault. This is organized crime that is defrauding you. Once again, an example.
What
does the site look like to you? 50% off and more, nice clothes. Any hints about problems? Do you see anything? Yeah, there's some of these. The price should be suspicious. And the thing we noticed about these shops, they not only do they use the same software, not only do they have the same security gap, the translation is weird in the same way. New arrivals is an acceptable English term, but it doesn't work in German. That's one of the hints you can pay attention to. And there's many, many more. You're certainly aware of them. But please tell your friends, tell your family. There's no imprint. The order process forces you to use a credit card. The URL is weird. Doesn't fit the brand. The logo isn't quite right. Who's Jürgen Eckhardt? Jürgen Eckhardt was a victim of this because this gang used dead URLs in their first wave of fraud. URLs that used to belong to other persons that were orphaned, and they bought those dead URLs and reused them. And Jürgen Eckhardt, South German artist, used to sell his pictures via this and then didn't want to sell things online anymore. They used things just like this. These people are also victims of these criminals.
Matthias is now going to tell you more about how we actually got to the data. If you look into data leaks, and if you do this more intensely, that has some side effects. So if you feel the need to do this, or feel like you want to do this, just know that there are some side effects. So if you want to do this at home, from my point, you can do that, but do take the time to actually think about the problems that can come from this. So, for example, I personally wouldn't go to China at the moment, or only with very large amounts of preparation. So I and my team, we looked into this data, and after Kai and I met at camp, and then afterwards again, and Kai said, oh no, this is interesting. I said, okay, we're going to look at this. So our canary still works. So it wasn't. So our canary was actually used, and it was used several times. In April of 2023, we ordered something from DreierJuliane.com, which was probably the website of a singer before, and shortly after there was a webshop there. We ordered there, and a week after, somebody started to test this credit card data. And again and again, within some weeks, with different companies, they use it with Facebook, Blizzard, or DoorDash, with very low amounts of money. If you look at credit card fraud on the internet, this is something you see often. The cards are tested. If you have cards that work, they bring more money on the market. So the topic was interesting again. So we looked again at what we had in the .git folder. And interesting was this function, remove backup. We had all of the source code and had code look into everything, and didn't have to do a proper pen testing, so we could do code review and found something like this, and here like a system command is executed. This is a command that is executed with the local user rights of the web server, and here its user input is put into there unfiltered and is executed. So we can enter a second command. So we have remote code execution with a local unprivileged user. This is interesting because we don't have this once but 10,000 times. So we have 10,000 unprivileged users on this internet. We also used this to find our test order, and we also found it. This was also kind of weird. It looks different from normal order data. We have the date, the currency, and the total. And on the right, you can see the two products that we ordered. It was two discounted purses. If you add the two prices, you get 43.40. So there were probably 10 euro of shipping costs. So we had the opportunity to see our data, and we could see more data. And we looked at the sample, and we gave that to Kai.
That was the time when we thought and we knew this is about crime, this is about fraud, but we weren't sure how exactly it works, what the extent of it is, and if there are victims at all. Because as Matthias said, the data was weird. And that's when we came in, because my job is more looking at the people affected by this, talk to them, listen to their stories, so that I can tell their stories. This is a random picture, as you can see, stock photograph. I used this deliberately, because it's totally misleading as a symbol, because youth doesn't protect you from fraud. As we will see later, age doesn't matter. Don't feel too secure. These webshops keep getting better. But yeah, we wanted to know what people actually frauded, where, how many, to what extent. Because we thought this is a big thing. 10,000 of shops all over the world. We shared the data with colleagues at several publications. We asked,
hey, want in, want to help us, want to research with us. And together we found over 100 victims, talked to them, had their stories told. And yeah, in the end we were sure this is fraud. It really happens. And it happens on a large scale. Here's some of the very typical answers. It's very important to me to don't do any victim shaming here. These are victims. They were defrauded. It's not their fault if this happens to you. This is not your fault. These answers point to me that this is perfectly normal behavior because they're used to impulsively order things off the internet. We assume these processes are simple. They're pretty secure with two-factor authentication from our credit card and our bank. So people trust in these. Trust is glue that keeps society together, and to abuse that is really, really mean. So these people are victims. We're not going to show pictures. We're not going to name any names. And if this happens to you, again, this is not your fault. So. These people wanted to buy something where they thought, oh yeah, this might be a good deal. This is also interesting to see. These discounts, these people, these scammers get smarter. They're not really, really, really low that people think, wait, no, that can't be true. Sometimes it's just 10 to 20% off in comparison to the real shops they were copied off. They're enough to trigger us and to go, huh, if I can save this, why not? But then not so low as to arouse suspicion. And yeah, you become a victim unless you're really, really, really paying close attention. So we looked around. Where are people affected? And how many? You see the extent of it. This is huge numbers. And we're only talking about one gang. One more example. Recently, last week, I looked into it. They're still active, that gang. And I tried to try again. How do people find this shop? Arquette is a brand and a ladies' wool blazer. I threw this at Google and looked via the image search because a lot of victims told us they got there via the image search because that's how they recognize the items they want. And that's the result I got. Where's the fake shop?
Nicht so einfach, oder?
Not that easy, isn't it?
Ja, nein, alle sind's nicht.
No, it's not all of them. It's that one.
Auch das finde ich durchaus erschreckend.
It's terrifying, really. A terrifying realization that I got from this research. These fraudsters try really, really hard to get a clean Google listing because that's how they get traffic and get victims. So that's the fake shop. Fake shop from their brand. Yep.
Egal, auch Google-Suchergebnisse sind nicht immer die besten.
Nah, Google Search Results aren't always the best.
Man kommt über die Google-Suche direkt auf diesen Shop.
Yeah, but it's also in our list of affected URLs.
Jetzt kommt noch ein Problem.
Now, there's one more problem.
Ich habe anschließend dann noch eine Gegenprobe gemacht.
I tried to do counter-message. There's the fake shop finder from consumers' rights organization in North Rhine-Westphalia. Please do test URLs against their database. It's a really huge database. It's very up to date, and we donated the data we got to them. But the problem is, the web shop I'd found last week, it hadn't been identified by the fake shop finder. It was listed as suspicious. Could be, couldn't be. But yellow doesn't deter us from a good deal, right? It needs to be red in order to deter us. So that's a bit concerning. And that also means the gang is getting better and goes to great lengths to defraud us. Another thing we saw in the data is that, as Matthias said, this gang didn't only charge cards once, but if they found a valid credit card, if you enter this during the order process, they try to charge it again. That's a real case. Somebody from Munich I talked to, who talked to at length, who told me a lot of things, and we went through his credit card statements together, and he said the initial charge that made him suspicious told his bank. The bank said, yep, we'll cancel that order, and then he forgot about it. And months later, there were more weird charges, a lot of months later. And it took time until he remembered the connection to that weird fake shop. It's quite the hassle. But that's not the only problem that arises from this, if you fall victim to this. Because even if you get the money back, and many do get your money back, if you pay with credit card, there's quite a chance that the credit card company repays you, but your data is gone. And you see the data that this gang fishes, because that's the data you give them during the order process. They register your IP address, and they save them at once. As soon as you enter the data into the form, they go into the database. You may cancel the process, but the data is saved, as a warning. What can happen with these data?
So I looked at a CADA forum. It's not that long ago. This is an offer from people that have this credit card data, and you can buy it. And you can see the data quality, and from the quality you can infer the price. And the price at the end you can see is one set of data. The data quality has the same quality as the gang we looked at earlier. They can't just take your money directly, but they can also sell your data and can actually make a lot of money through this. So one set of credit card data is like $3 to $5. So if it's like a half million credit card data sets in the frame of time we could see.
Ja, war das alles?
So is this all? We have remote access to the shops, we can identify victims, we can over 3 years see how many people were defrauded. We don't know how much the gang actually made, because we don't know how many payment tries were actually reset, and maybe some of the credit card data was also recycled. So we looked at the order process, and there was this weird domain. So all of the web shops aren't everything. So we looked in more detail. So it started with the domain and the .git folder leaks, where Bitbucket credentials were in. With this source code, we have then unprivileged code road code execution on a lot of fake shop servers. There, we could already see that these 10, 15,000 servers, domains are not on one server, but on one server there might be 200. So there were a lot of servers. The servers were all very out of date with their software, so one could have exploited a polkit root exploit to become root on these servers. And there was then another data leak, there was access credentials to something we are calling merchant management server. Merchant is a denomination we use from their source code. So we started to look at the structure of the organization. So we found more access credentials so we could log into different servers. We saw there are clusters of fake shops that are in the that are connecting to these merchant servers. And there we found again database access credentials. These databases were not running on the same server, but on a different distant server. So we
actually had access to the database, and through the database access to this remote server, we found more access credentials. There were more domains now. There were now not 15,000, but now it's more than 75,000 domains. Not all of these domains are online at the same time. At the time of the research, end of April, there were more than 20,000 domains in use at the same time, in connection with over double the number of IP addresses. On this database server, we looked around more carefully, and the more we went through, the less detailed is what I'm going to explain. And this gang is still active. We would like to explain to you what our research did and how it worked, but we also don't want to make the IT security of this gang better.
So
there we found a tool to import. This tool had two parts. First up, it could scrape different webshops and copy-paste all of the images and all of the descriptions. And there's also the import tool that takes these CSV files and a lot of images. It's like terabytes full of images. And it refines this data and then actually puts this into the shops again. Through this database access, we then also had privileged remote code execution. You may have noticed that the domains are now also have been owned. There were also more credentials for Cloudflare and domain registers. But that's not all. We also have a server in the background that somehow seems to play a central role. There we had to find three vulnerabilities and chain those, so we actually then had remote code execution, and there we found more access credentials. And those were credentials that we didn't have yet. So in the chain, the payment gateways were missing in the slide. With those credentials that we found last, we could also look at part of the payment gateways, sadly not at all of them. So I'm going to explain the structure in more detail now. How did this work? So we started with the fake shops. In the end, we had around 76,000 of them. End of April this year. That's a lot of domains, and these can be clustered by the Bitbucket usernames. From different sources, you can now connect and find more domains. You'll find over 30 payment gateways. These payment gateways are mainly hosted with the same hoster, and via the remote code execution in PHP, we also had access to the fake shop servers. That's over 350 servers. This infrastructure is mainly hosted in the US. And how I just told you, behind the fake shop servers, there's also the merchant management servers. There's only 8 of these. And these Bitbucket usernames, you can also match them up with one of the management servers. So we now have more structure in this net of servers, so we can now understand the structure. On the merchant servers, we have a ticketing system, a monitoring system, and the merchant management system. And this was then also connected to a database that is running at Alibaba. There is also the import tool that we talked about earlier there. And then two of these management servers that were used sequentially, these are then used hosted at AWS with Amazon. And how does this look like? This is one of the WordPress systems. At the bottom, we see an API URL. That's where we send the access data during ordering. there's not that much more on these domain servers. They're kind of boring. We also owned the domains. We actually did not change anything. It's the part of the police to actually change something about this. This is an account with a Chinese domain register. And in the middle, you maybe can't read this. You can see the number is 6,000 and something.
Multiplizieren und dann and wissen wir, wie viele Domains über diesen.
You can see that there is a lot of domains in this one account. Also in the mix is Cloudflare, so the CloudShares are hiding their actual IP address because and Cloudflare is solemnly blocked. So the perpetrators are using Cloudflare in this sense. Further, what we also see is the servers of the merchants. We also have Chinese-speaking tools here. In order to import tools, there are CSV files here that I use to import files at scale into one of these fake shops. The most interesting thing was the ticketing system. So at this group, there is a QA process, where there is a, if one of these shops is finished being set up, then one from this gang actually looks over it again, and there's probably like a form of checklist whether this is actually running. And here something's wrong with the email address, so somebody is supposed to fix this. So somebody created a ticket, so this email address is fixed. In a different tool, we can understand a bit more about the structure. Here, there are over 30 roles listed here, where it's very interesting that they are trying to use A-B testing. So they have a group A and a group B that does the same thing, but in green. But the tool is more interesting. We can also list all of the fake shops that belong to this merchant. So this is what belongs to one of these eight groups. So we can filter for the brand. So for example, if I only look at brands that are, for example, sell Adidas, then we can actually filter for these shops. On the database server, we then also have the import tool that we talked about. There's like products and product images and descriptions will be moved around and sizing tables will be combined. So the group is getting information from somewhere about the products, and these products are supposed to be available. So there is a file format here. No matter which products this is, it works. So all of the products are there in all of the sizes. With the payment gateways, there is not that much to see. There's a screenshot here from one of the gateways where we have Stripe payments. And here we can see via Stripe, there will be money gotten through Stripe. There is another payment gateway here. This is my idea that this is used to use credit card data. Here we find hints towards a terminal number, and through an unknown amount of time, there was $300,000 were moved through this. There was also the opportunity to reset transactions. And all of this then runs together into one of the main servers. What we see here is 20 rows. And these rows are only 12 minutes. So a lot of orders are running through this server. We can see here orders that belong to different groups. Everything runs together in the back end. So this is orders for all of the great groups. And the employees of this group all have a small portion of permissions for this. And here we're currently the administrator. And the employees can only see the orders of their own group.
die glauben, dass das, was sie da tun, ein ganz normales
and there might be some employees of these that actually don't think this is fraudulent, and so some of these email addresses are actually real. Some of these, and we also see that these orders are all roughly under $100. In truth, there is different currencies here, but this tool already calculates this in US dollars for everybody. But this is typically for all of West Europe and many more countries.
Also wir sind sicher, es ist Betrug.
So we're sure it's fraud. It's on a large scale.
Und wer betrügt denn da jetzt eigentlich?
And who's doing the defrauding?
Matthias ist ein sehr gründlicher
Matthias
Mensch.
Matthias is a very thorough person. He found a lot of other things on the service. And he found company details. And they were very interesting. What you see is the address. It's in Fuzhou, a city in China. In this block of skyscrapers. It seems to be office workplaces. At least that's the official company address. Because there is actual companies registered in China operating there. And they give out employment contracts. That was also on this server. Our Chinese may be better than mine, but it's preliminary employment contract. The job description is data entry. And there's the company name. And this company exists. It's on the trade register. We found more employment contracts. And this one is about web front-end development. They're more actively involved in this whole business model. We see the salary that's offered in this contract. It's kind of a complex model. It's interesting that during the trial period, you only get 80% of your salary. And I asked Chinese colleagues, they're pretty standard contracts for China, both in terms of salary and other rules. You need to accrue overtime to get days off, considering the legal risk that people run unwittingly. This is actually not that great a salary. If you divide the figures by 10, then you get euros. This is a wanted ad on a Chinese job agency. Chinese on top, English at the bottom. They're looking for cheap people. They're hiring. And here for web front end development and data collection, the salaries that are promised are not quite accurate, actually. It's a bit lower. Here's the salary records from the company. You divide it by 10, then you get euros. It's interesting. There's one more interesting thing. Here, the salary, the company's what the company has on the bank, and there's names. And there's this name. Isn't listed in the duties. He's called Mr. Black. If you translate his characters, this is Mr. Black. There's another person in this company who doesn't appear to do anything, gets an equal amount of money. He's called Mr. White. We could, unfortunately, not identify these two people. We don't know who they are. We don't know who the criminal backers of this company are. Yeah, the people employed by the company, you can find those. They seem to be a strawman mostly. One of them gave an interview to our French colleagues who said, no, we have a totally legal company here. We don't know what you want. Now we see something more about the financial structure, the month, the expenses, the money coming in, the profit and miscellaneous. If you look at this, this is per month. Year 2021, January to December. Initially, they ran a loss. They had to work and work and work until they made a profit, because you need to set up these websites, you need to advertise them, you need to find victims. But eventually, they unfortunately turned a profit. This is attempts made to order. People who ordered via these sites over time. These darker columns, that's December of every year. That's the Christmas business. Christmas is also important to fraudsters. So be careful. From Black Friday, it's getting really, really dangerous on the internet if you order things. Black Friday to Christmas, and after that it gets easier. But after Black Friday, maybe you know this, it's this for me, after Black Friday, the scam mails get worse. Another thing we saw, Matthias already talked about this. What does data entry do at this group? They do this. They scan websites from real shops, from brands. On the left, you see real brands, Adidas, Superdry, etc. And then there's a date and there's a name. And then there's, yeah, we scanned this website, we have images, and there's comments. Yeah, couldn't reach it because reasons, 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 couldn't steal the picture, sorry. It's all noted down, documented. This is a real company. We see really, really organized fraud like I had actually never seen before. It really shocked me. Just a brief thing, which brands work best. So carefully from Black Friday with Nike and Adidas. They're very popular to fake because they work. And I also found this interesting. These are handbooks. This company made handbooks to train people faster in WordPress, in how to create these websites. The red is the translation. It's about SEO. Make clear what you sell. Click the link and open the site where you enter the title.
Und jetzt kommen wir.
And now, what did you do with the data?
Ja, wenig überraschend waren wir.
Little surprise, we weren't the only ones. We're looking into fake shops. Before publication, I talked to another person who may be here. They had also noticed these leaks, but the person hadn't looked any further, just like we didn't look any closer in the beginning. Here in the top right, there's Yarex from Italia. In 2023, they already wrote a report about a subset of our group. They had about 13,000 domains. After publication, a lot of people contacted me, among them the three people shown here. These blog posts were sent to me. It was interesting to see, because I hadn't really noticed fake shops, and suddenly there's so many groups, and ours is just one of them, because some of these people wrote to me and told me, oh yeah, yeah, I know them, I'm looking into them, and I looked, yeah, yeah, it's similar to our group, yeah, they're probably also Chinese, but it's another framework, it's another group. That was interesting, a bit surprising. What do we do with this?
So we go through responsible disclosure, we look at the responsible parts of the government that should be interested in this, which is not the people that run these fake shops, but first we go to the police. And some of them were motivated and some of them weren't as motivated. So we put together an information packet and send it to the FBI, the NCA from the UK, the BKA, and the LKA and Europol. And FBI and NCA were very interested, so we gave them a small presentation and very in a lot of detail, explained what we were seeing, and we also gave them lists of stuff we saw. These government bodies could have used this information to shut down these websites. Short interlude. In Germany, it's not that easy. The BKA said, oh, this is part of the Länder. So this is small stuff. We don't care about it.
The
people from the Länder are going to look at it once they figure it out. In May, we published this in the three papers, and we also informed the consumer protection services and also Google and Stripe, and so they can add this to the Fake Shop Finder. So we also talked to the consumer protection so they could add it to the Fake Shop, and we talked to Google and Stripe and Cloudflare so they could actually also take measure. Because they're using Cloudflare to hide themselves, and they're using Stripe accounts to move money. After publication, in different frequencies, researchers contacted us, and everybody that contacted us, not completely anonymously, we also sent them our list of domains so they could have a look. In August, there was also a small peak, so the LKA from Northern Saxony and also the French government issues also got in contact, and they were also very interested, and they came with a lot of people when I was giving a talk to them. In the preparation for this talk, we also noticed that the fake shops are still there. We, on purpose, didn't look at it because it's part of the government bodies to now deal with this. And then I wanted to not have my fingers in a server that would hopefully get shut down by the government bodies soon. We gave them some information, but they didn't really give us information back. But we noticed it's still there, so we again found a lot of domains and notified Cloudflare, Google, and Jonas, and also the Consumer Protection Agency. All of them got an update from us. Important of note is the reaction from Jonas, and now we can add our Know Your Customer processes. So somebody actually got around. So Jonas tried to actually improve their process because somebody was able to register this many domains a lot. Google, you can not only use to censor people, but you can also send them hints about fake shops so people get this red warning if they actually try to access this. Google wanted that I solve this capture for every domain, so 75,000 times. We talked to the press of Google, and I talked to friends that work at Google, and they tried to internally escalate this, but no, we were supposed to use the form. Nonetheless, a lot of stuff changed, and after publishing, a lot of the domains were not available anymore, and the domains we actually attribute to this domain, you actually get this warning a lot. There might be more researchers that have automated the captcha, or there's enough people that are victimized by this that actually add these domains to the scam list. So we actually have this information packet for law enforcement agencies. We have Bogus Bazaar here. It was founded in 2015 or before 2015. There's a lot of employees. There's more than 1 million orders since 2021. There's over 5 million euro in order volume, so in profit. There's around 850,000 email addresses, so people ordered several times. And in around half of the cases, we have full credit card information, including the CVC and expiry date information. The infrastructure is mainly hosted in the US at Nosix, EGL Hosting, and Ionix. Still to this day, Cloudflare uses a proxy, and the payment providers are credit cards, and we also have Stripe and PayPal. In May 2024, we had these 76,000 domains, and in May we had 22,000 of them online, and there were six franchises, like subgroups of this gang. Today, Bogus Bazaar group is still active, and parts of the infrastructure have been improved, and a part of the group still operates these groups with 15,000 domains. What changed is a .shop domain. Would you like to tell it?
Okay,
I only have a...
Brian Traps hat neulich festgestellt,
so somebody else also noticed that scammers also gravitate towards the .shop domains.
Tend to offer cheap or free registration with little to no account or identity verification requirements. Wunderbar.
Great.
Die Gruppe ist noch da.
The group is still there. Not that much happened, but their infrastructure got better. After my feeling, the fake shops are getting better because they're not using different other people's URLs anymore. They're using their own URLs now. So I have a I would like to ask something of you.
Das da. Ja, das wird immer so.
Das, so this. Please.
Ich meine es sehr ernst. Macht
please actually go to the police and...
Nicht euch. Ihr habt Ärger.
But it helps. It doesn't help you. You got the stress. You need to report it.
Euch hilft es leider nicht. Ist genau
unfortunately, it doesn't help you personally. This is what, well, we don't do it. But the more people report this to the police, the higher are the numbers in the criminal statistics, and the higher these numbers in the statistics, the better the chance that first police and then politics notice the problem and then actually do something to protect you, because this is what it's about. At the moment, you're on your own. You only can pay attention to your own behavior. There's not a lot of protection. We need, all of us together, we need to change awareness of this problem. And this research showed me that the problem is huge, much bigger than we all thought. As far as I know, it's the first time that could be shown that fake shops, police thinks, ah, that's small fry. But no, these are organized structures. They are well organized and they make a lot of money. So please take it seriously. Don't just post it. Do it. Thank you. So, thanks a lot to the two of you, and an important part of raising this awareness. But yeah, you feel small, you feel weak, you feel helpless fighting these giants. But here's a short question where you can come up to the mics. We have two common allies in this fight. There's the companies defrauded, there's Nike and there's Adidas. But also the financial ministries. How do the companies react? So my contact to the Chinese financial ministry is a bit bad, but of course we ask the companies. Big companies, big name brands. I asked a lot of them, colleagues asked even more of them, are you doing anything about this? Doesn't this bother you? Why? We do a lot about fake products. No, it's not about fake products. It's about somebody faking your websites and using it into their products. But we do a lot against fake products. No, the companies don't do anything. So yeah, please, please report it to the police. There's nothing to do. There were no fake products. Matthias, did you try to sell this as a USCP trial? No. We have a question from Mike One.
Yep.
Thanks for the talk. One question I was wondering about. Did you also report this to the Chinese authorities? Of course we did. Of course we confronted the company. That's journalistic ethics. We confronted the company. And I confronted and asked people working there that we could identify. I contacted the Chinese embassy. The answer is none. Not one. I'm sorry. Thanks for the answer. And I see we have questions of the internet. Yeah, more than one, actually. First question, how do you acquire a Canary credit card? There was a
provider. I think it was researchers at a uni. They gave it out as a service. By now, there's also commercial offers. Just look for Canary credit cards. Thank you. At mic four, we've got someone. Hello. Yeah, I've got a question. And you said that you wouldn't want to travel to China. What did you face consequences personally? So, not yet. Thank you. That would have been my question too. And does the telephone sound weird since then? Do you get any more emails? No, and there's also no black vans outside my door. So, thank you. And mic one again. Hi. What's the danger with PayPal as a proxy when paying? PayPal is being excluded by these companies because it's a system of trust. If it's a commercial transfer, not the friends transfer, but the commercial transfer, they don't like it because they can't access their money. So, yeah, you can pay via PayPal as a donation and there's no buyer's protection. That's how they circumvent that. Thank you. One more question of the internet. What's the influence of these fake shops to legitimate shops or to platforms that are smaller than like Amazon? We can't estimate it. We can only say, if one of these brands were mine, I would have a problem. But we asked the prop companies. There were non-answers that we got, can't say, unfortunately. We've got time for two questions. Mike 2 was first, I think. You mentioned this indirectly. How far do you see that there's structural government organization in China and that there's bigger structures behind this even, and that it's not private business anymore? We're going into speculation here, and I really don't like to do that. The honest answer is, I don't know. I can only say there's a great criminal gang. We asked the Chinese government via the embassy. We notified them. Nothing happens. Please draw your own conclusions. So possibly it's being accepted. They may do it. They don't defraud their own population. Maybe there are other reasons not to interfere. Maybe things are happening and we just don't see it. Communication is also a bit hard, but I really can't say. So we have one last question of microphone three. Also on about why you don't want to travel to China anymore. What exactly are you afraid of? The authorities? Why would they want to attack you, or the criminals could come here? We didn't say. No, I don't think so. They have other things to do. They need to make money. We didn't say we weren't going to travel to China. We just said, if you do this, you should be aware of the risks that you might incur. So don't run into this blind.
I
would personally travel to China. I did a data leak thing with the US before, and I traveled there very deliberately and had a very empty laptop and a brand new cell phone. And I haven't used that laptop since. So I would be careful. That's a great call to wrap it up. Thanks for this exciting talk and this insight and the sheer extent of this. Thank you for listening. So, thanks for listening to the English translation of Fake Shops of the Rack, Bogus Bazaar.